By now, you've probably heard of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, a mass of marine debris particles the size of Texas located in the Pacific Ocean. Incredibly, when it comes to plastic pollution in the ocean, this immense garbage patch is just the tip of the iceberg. On our current trajectory, by 2050, pound for pound, there will be more plastic in the ocean than fish. You're listening to Friday Podcast from the Wilson Center's Environmental Change and Security Program. In today's podcast, Wilson Center Senior Fellow Ambassador David Balton speaks with Rob Kaplan, founder and CEO of Circulate Capital, about the challenge posed by ocean plastics, the role of catalytic financing in addressing this global issue, and the significance of the partnership between USAID and Circulate Capital.
Rob, why don't we start off by hearing a little about yourself?
Yeah, so I've been investing in waste and recycling for the last 5 years in North America. Before that, I led sustainability initiatives within the corporate sector. So I was in charge of sustainable packaging globally for Walmart and worked in the beverage industry for about a decade. A couple years ago, a number of our corporate partners came to us and said, we love investing in waste and recycling solutions in North America, but our waste and recycling challenges are much more pronounced in emerging markets than they are here. And this thing called ocean plastic is just starting to hit our radar screen. So what would it take to build an investment strategy in the regions of the world that are the largest producers of plastic pollution that get into the ocean? And that research started a couple years ago. We looked at the pipeline and developed a strategy that has now become Circulate Capital.
And what exactly does Circulate Capital do?
Our goal is twofold. First, we want to invest in companies that prevent plastic pollution. Mm-hmm. And these are, at the simplest level, recycling companies that are helping collect, sort, process, and even manufacture using plastic waste that would ultimately otherwise end up in the environment. But our second and even broader goal is to be catalytic in our capital deployment. And how do we use our investments to crowd in sources of capital from other players, large institutional investors, whether they're public sector or private sector, to have them allocate more capital to this challenge? Because we need a lot more than $100 million. We need many billions of dollars deployed into this space as quickly as possible.
Why is it important for a complex issue like marine plastic pollution to have so many different types of partners?
This is an incredibly complex system that affects so many different players and sectors and stakeholders, whether it's the local community or global international dialogues. Right. And everyone has a stake at the table. And a complex system problem requires a complex system solution.
So at an event here at the Wilson Center earlier today, we heard about the launch of a partnership with USAID. Could you tell us a little bit about that? What's the purpose of the partnership and who exactly are the partners?
Yeah, so we've been building an investment strategy with corporate dollars. Our founding investors include PepsiCo, who was our first investor, Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola, Unilever, Danone, and Dow. And we put together just over $100 million for this strategy. But we recognize that we're only able to do so much alone. And the public sector really needs to be a partner in how we do this. So we were able to leverage a partnership with USAID where they're providing us a credit guarantee. And what that means is for every loan we make to a recycling company in Indonesia, for example, if that loan defaults or we don't make up as much money as we had hoped, the U.S. government will pay back our investors. And that allows us to take on more risk because we're working on really tricky geographies where nobody has done this before, and that just equates to financial risk. And so the USAID program has said, well, we have impact objectives and development objectives that are aligned with your investment objectives. Let's combine our capital to create greater impact together.
So if I'm at USAID and I'm being approached by Circulate Capital, I'm trying to fit this not only into a development strategy, but also into a political context in the United States. Is there support for this in the political spheres?
I've been working in the environmental space for 20 years. I've never seen this kind of political and public sector engagement in an environmental topic happen so fast. Like I said, a couple years ago when we started looking at this, I would say, call it a blip on the radar. Now it's, you know, and many of the ocean conferences that we've been at together, you know, it was sort of a one agenda item among many. It's now becoming a top priority, if not number one and number two priority for a lot of conversations. So the political will is there. And I think the exciting part about this topic is that there's nobody really for plastic waste. It hasn't become politicized, right? And we've seen that on Capitol Hill, and we've seen that in global dialogues.
So on Capitol Hill, Senator Whitehouse came and talked about the Save Our Seas Act that got passed unanimously last year, and that there's a second, a bigger, better bill kicking around. And he talked about working together across party lines, particularly with Senator Sullivan from Alaska. This put some wind in your sails, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. We were thrilled to see the Save Our Seas Act happen. You know, I think last year there maybe you could count on one hand the amount of bipartisan legislation that got through and was signed, and that was one of them.
Right, especially in the environmental field.
Especially. And so that, I think, speaks for itself.
So then I'd like to ask about other countries. Do you find the same type of receptivity to working on this issue of ocean plastic pollution in other countries?
I've been astounded by the amount of interest. I do think we're at a bit of a convergence right now where you see this pattern play out in other environmental topics over the past, climate maybe being the easiest example, where you start to see U.S. versus European approaches that are divergent in how they, in the sort of their worldview.
Right.
And then you also see the implications of how are those entities going to exert influence on the developing countries, right? And it actually becomes more of a geopolitical conversation about, like, who gets to call the shots in a developing country like Indonesia. And, you know, that's getting increasingly complex. And while we all are, like I mentioned, everyone's against ocean plastic, they're starting to be like, well, my idea is a little bit better than your idea. I think there is a lot of risk there that we'll start to see a lot of divergence, but also a lot of people pushing down other ideas. And like we talked about earlier, there is enough waste to go around. And, you know, it really needs to be a yes and conversation, not a, that's a great project, but I want you to talk about something else over here.
Right. So you spoke about some of your partners this morning. We had on stage with you at this event at the Wilson Center representatives from Dow and from Procter & Gamble. And it was heartening to see these private sector companies who are involved either in using plastic or making plastics trying to be part of the solution. Is there the prospect for more such companies to be getting involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have seven that we started with, but we have been in conversation with another couple dozen that are interested in being part of the solution. And I think most companies agree that, you know, they don't want their packaging ending up in the environment. They don't want animals eating it. They don't want it polluting people's waterways and their livelihoods on the ground in the communities where they'd like to do business. So this is an example of an environmental externality that is actually hurting business.
Right. I read an article, I think it was either from the Philippines, maybe in Manila Bay, or perhaps in Indonesia, forgive me for not recalling exactly, where some enterprising NGO was collecting plastic waste found on the beaches there and taking pictures of the name of the company whose product it initially was as a way to spur efforts from such companies to try to reduce that. Is that the sort of thing you're trying to talk about here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nobody wants to be in that photo. Right? I think it does cause challenges in the implementation side because a lot of the conversation on the corporate target has been on multinational corporations.
Right.
But in most of these markets, they're actually only a small percent of the market share of the plastic packaging actually getting out. And we've had some pretty complex conversations, which is like, how do you redesign this package to be more recyclable or less likely to end up in the ocean? And the answer is, well, we could do that. It would increase the cost. And meanwhile, our competitors, who are local companies, will not be doing that. And they will take our market share, and it will not reduce any plastic that ends up in the environment. So there's a tension there about how that those ideas turn into action. But certainly that type of pressure has created political will, both within governments, but also political will within corporations to take action.
I'm wondering what you think of the attention this and similar issues are getting at sort of the highest international levels. I know of the series of Our Ocean conferences that were launched in the United States and are now being carried forward by other countries. The United Nations has also created a set of sustainable development goals, one of which focuses on the ocean, actually talks about marine debris problems, and there was a large conference about that already, another one scheduled for 2020. Are these helpful to you, or are they too diffuse and distracting? What's your view of these types of conferences?
It's a really good question, as someone who attends them often, wondering why I'm there. I think the platform they offer for the dialogue is critical. And they are, and each time they create a milestone that forces progress down the path, right? To what end is often the question. And as an investor, I do struggle with, by the way, I got to go out and deploy some capital and build some businesses. Is that a relevant conversation at this, multinational level? And so it's a little bit of both.
I see. I used to participate in these conferences as well, and I had similarly mixed feelings about it. They do have the effect of raising awareness and stoking commitments. The questions for me always related to follow-up and concrete achievements. So what's next for the partnership? You've now launched with USAID. Could you lay out sort of your vision for the next year or two?
Yeah. Well, actually, just building on the point you just made, I think there's a little bit of commitment fatigue in this space because so many parties were interested in making a difference in the topic because it got so hot so fast.
Yeah.
Everyone committed to something in the last 12 to 18 months. So our focus is very much shifting towards not about talking about what we're hoping to do, but rather talking about how we're deploying capital and investing in companies and talking about our investments. So we're hoping to do our first couple transactions this year, this summer really, hopefully two or three or four. We're looking to deploy the full $100 million in the next 3 or 4 years. And that will hopefully build the track record and the pipeline to say, like, now this is a $500 million opportunity or $1 billion opportunity and get more capital engaged.
So part of this is a kind of proof of concept, if I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I would say it's a proof of concept from, like, the capital markets perspective.
Yes, exactly.
Right, that's the catalytic side is we're showing, it's almost a, some circles you'd call it a search fund, right? Like we have a concept, we have to go out and find those projects and prove that it's possible. And that builds toward the larger amounts of capital that you can really pull in. And you can make a case for saying like, this is what we think the actual returns would be. We have a pipeline of $1 billion. So that means we actually could deploy, 200 or 300 million in really quality projects. Those types of questions haven't been answered yet.
Okay. Well, Rob, thanks very much for this. I appreciate your engagement with this issue. I'd be very curious to see how this partnership unfolds over time.
Thanks, Dave. Look forward to keeping in touch.
You've been listening to Friday Podcast from the Wilson Center. Thanks for tuning in. For more information, follow us on Twitter @NewSecurityBeat and visit newsecuritybeat.org.